Hi, this is Blake Andrews, lead pastor at Victory World Outreach, Denton, Texas. This is our podcast, and we're so glad that you came to check it out today. I hope this message encourages you and inspires you to do great things for God.
Let's let all our guests for the first time, let them know by a big applause that we're glad they're here. I am the senior pastor here, blessed to be able to oversee this work, what God is doing, so excited to preach his word, amen? And this is what I live for. I don't know what you live for, but this is what I live for, to see these lives changed, and listening to these testimonies over there, just trying to fight back tears of joy, because these are real testimonies of real lives changed, amen? If you're here today and your life needs a change, you're in the right place. If you're like some of those testimonies, you need a breakthrough, you need a miracle, you need hope, whatever it is you need, I don't need to know it. God knows already. He has the answer for you this morning, amen? And there is a real God in heaven who loves you and sent his son to die for you, and Jesus did that on the cross, and today there's nothing that he can't do, amen? And so we want you to open your hearts to listen to the word of God for just a few minutes. I know some may be here invited by a family. You may be here supporting somebody else, but today's the day. We've seen over the years many, many times during weddings or baptisms or different events where people have come in to support their family and gotten touched by God, and God spoke to them, and they heard the gospel message, and it changed their life. Amen? So we just want you to thank you, all that you that come every Sunday, for choosing this church to come to. There's lots of places that you could go. Amen? You know, we're followers by nature. We might not admit it, but we are very easily led by following somebody else that's in front of us. And I want to talk a little bit about following, because this is what happens when you get baptized. You make a decision to follow Jesus. How many know we follow a lot of things in life? Let me give you a few examples. People say, follow your dreams. Follow your instincts. That's used a lot. People follow people on social media, on Instagram and Facebook, and people follow people's careers. Maybe you admire an actor or a sports person or a celebrity or whoever in a career. We follow the lives of those people. And what we do, it'll hit home for all of us, we follow people in line. Amen? Sometimes there's a group of people, and people start going a certain way, and we just get in the line like a bunch of dummies and don't even know what we're in line for. Everybody ever done that? And that's how we are as people. We just kind of follow where everybody goes. But following Jesus is different. So there's all kinds of situations. And for just a few minutes, I want to talk about this, and I want to ask not just some of you, but every one of you, a question. Have you personally decided to follow Jesus? That's the question that God is asking today. I'm asking, all I am is a messenger. I'm somebody that Jesus has changed. And my call, not my job, my call is to tell you he wants you to follow him too. And when you follow Jesus, David said it in his word of grind, it's difficult, it's hard. Jesus said that in his word. It's narrow, it's straight, it's not wide, it's not easy. But it's the best. It's the best path. So I want to ask you another question today. You don't have to answer them out loud, but you can answer them in your spirit. If you're here and you've heard the gospel, see, the gospel is a collision of souls. It's truth and eternity colliding with our human bodies and our minds. And we make a decision to accept what Jesus has done for us or reject. There's only two types of people in the whole world, those who accept and those who reject. It really is that simple. God so loved the world that he gave his only son that whosoever would believe in him. That whosoever means everybody. Anybody on the planet of 8 billion people, he said, I gave my son that whosoever would believe on him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And so we have a choice to accept or reject God's plan. And we can say, I don't believe it. We can say, I'm not sure about that. We can have a lot of mindsets and things go on through our minds. But the truth is, that's God's word that's been around a long time. And he expects us to follow his ways. And so if you today have never answered that question, I want to ask it to you, and I want to give you a chance in just a few minutes, an opportunity to follow Jesus. But if you already follow Jesus, have you ever asked the question, is this worth follow? Is my life worth following Jesus? Maybe today on Sunday you're here. Again, maybe you're here for somebody else. Maybe you're here because you love Jesus with all your heart. But you think sometimes, where could I be right now? I could be at the lake. I could be in bed still. I could be eating lunch somewhere or brunch. I could be somewhere else doing something else. Is living for Jesus worth my time? Maybe if I worked today instead of resting, I could have more money and I could have the car that my coworker has, or the boat that my coworker has, or the life of vacation that my boss or my family has. But am I wasting my time on a Sunday morning coming to church? You might ask that question. Those are questions that are real. I mean, like real questions. Wait, like, what are we doing here? What are we wasting our time by coming here today, or is God doing something? Now, if I was to do this on a different day, it would be a little bit less obvious, but I don't think anybody in here today can say we're wasting our time when you just heard those testimonies of people getting baptized, right? But the truth is, some people might question, I wish I had these things, and you have to ask yourself the question, am I willing to sacrifice some things to follow Jesus? George Barna did a survey. He's a guy that does a lot of surveys, and he grabbed 152 different things that the world does, that the church does, and he says, when I'm comparing the world and the churches, sometimes I see no difference between the two in how we live. And I would say he's probably talking about the American church, not Jesus' church. Because there has to be a difference between us and the world. If the world today that we live in, and if anybody here today says, hey, this world's beautiful, this world's amazing, there's nothing wrong with this world, I would love to give you the microphone and find out what world you're from. Because we all know this is a dark world. There's a lot of wickedness going on. There's a lot of horrible things going on. And so this world needs hope. And we have that hope this morning. Mark chapter 1, if you'll pick up with me for just a few moments on some verses. Jesus is walking by the Sea of Galilee, and he sees Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. And they were fishermen. And Jesus said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In 18, something very interesting and amazing and miraculous happened. It says, immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Immediately. Not even thinking about anything else. Something grabbed them, and they left and followed. And then it says, when he'd gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who was also in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants, and they went after him. They left everything. Father, I pray for just a moment that you would touch our hearts, that you'd speak to us, because this is a message, God, that requires an answer. And I can't answer for anybody else, and anybody else can't answer for me. Every individual of every number of people that's in this place today, sitting in these chairs or watching online or listening on the podcast, has to answer this question for themselves personally. And it is straight from your throne to our ears. Will we follow Jesus? Have we decided to give our lives to the Lord? I pray today for anyone in this place that has not made that decision, that they would make it today and that they would follow it up with letting you use their lives for your glory. And I pray for those that have already accepted you and follow you, that they would have a greater call today to touch other people's lives with the truth of the gospel. And devil, I bind you and all your lies and all your demonic forces. You have no power and no authority in this place. And you cannot lie and you cannot deceive and you cannot harden the hearts of God's people this morning. And I ask these things in Jesus' mighty name. And everybody said, Billy Graham said, when we come to Christ, we are no longer the most important person in the world to us. So you might not admit it today, but in our own flesh and self-motivation, we think the world revolves around us. You might not admit that. You might not come out and say it. You might not even think it, but that's kind of how we are. And he says, you can no longer look at you as the most important person. When you follow Jesus, Jesus becomes number one. Instead of living for ourselves, Billy Graham said, we have a higher goal, which is to live for Jesus. You know, people live for a lot of people today, if you think about it, and stop for just a moment to think about sports and singing and concerts and life in general. People do a lot of, I mean, you go to sporting events, they wear the shirt, they spend lots of money at games. All kinds of things are done, and yet we sometimes as a society worship and idolize people who we'll never meet. We'll never even meet them. Yet we have a God who knows us and loves us and died and gave himself for us, and we can't quite seem to give him what he deserves, which is our lives. How many today, you don't have to raise your hand, would begin to start to think, maybe I could do more for the one who did everything for me, which is Jesus. Maybe I could stop thinking so much about myself and start thinking about others. And the reason I'm asking that is because the one I'm talking about, who is the one, the I am, Jesus, ask these same questions. Look at Luke chapter 14, verse 25. It says, great multitudes went with him. Church, the truth is today, there's a lot of people in the world. 8 billion, as I said before, probably 8.5 now. It's always growing and going up. There's a lot of people in the world. Lots of people saw Jesus and went with him. But he turned to them and he said, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother and wife and children, and brothers, and sisters, yes, and his own life, also, he cannot be my disciple. Now, if you're here for the first time, you're thinking, would Jesus tell us to hate somebody? You have to understand that he's not saying in the word there to really hate somebody. He's saying to love everybody else less. That's what Jesus means there. So that means if your job, you love your job more than you love Jesus, then you're not right. If you love your spouse or your family member more than you love Jesus, then you're not right. This is what he's saying here. Now, how many know that Jesus, more than anyone in the world, can back up his word? I don't have to defend his word this morning. I'm just going to speak it. And one of the reasons that I think we're not seeing the move of God that we need to see in this world is because preachers are afraid to speak God's word. Can I get a better amen from somebody there? Why don't you just speak the word? God's word defends. Someone would read that verse and feel like they've got to justify Jesus' words. No, Jesus says what he says and means what he says. And what he says has backing to it. And if he died on the cross for your sins, he can expect you to do something for him. That's what he's saying. I gave my life for you. What are you going to do for me? Not to be saved. He's not asking this to be saved. We can't do anything to be saved. Can I get an amen? Nothing except believe. But once we receive Christ, now, he says, as we see in these verses, and we're going to continue to see, now he expects something of us. He says, then he goes on to say in verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost? And I want you to look at this and underline this and write this in your notes, whether he has enough to finish it. Tell the person next to you, you need to finish. We need to finish. What does that mean? If these people, let me tell you a sad stat today. Well, actually, not even a stat, a sad statement. Many people, and that's not going to happen today in the name of Jesus. Many people who get baptized never come back to church. They get baptized and somehow, I don't know where they get it from, except for the lie of the devil, they get baptized in water and we never see them again. Baptism is not the end. Baptism is the beginning. It's just a symbol. There, just so you know, we didn't go bring that water into that cow horse trough looking thing over there, okay, that's nothing special, by the way. I don't know, whatever it is, cow or horse, it's a water thing for animals. Ain't nothing special about it. We didn't bring that water from Israel. It's tap water from right here, from this building. There's nothing special about that water except what it means. The symbol of a changed life washed in the blood of Jesus, believing what Jesus did on the cross for our sins. But that water doesn't save anybody. It's a symbol of the decision someone made to follow Jesus. And he's saying here, if you're going to follow me, I need you to calculate that you're going to finish. Because you know what happens when people don't finish? When you say I'm a Christian, when you say I'm a believer, when you say I'm going to follow Jesus, when you get baptized or do any of those things, you get a target on your back. And the world is waiting for you to mess up and waiting for you to show your humanity and waiting for you to fail. That's what they want. So that's why some of you, I can see the cloud over your head, say, that's why I don't do anything. That's why I don't tell nobody nothing. That's why I'm quiet. That's why. No, that's not the answer either. Never did Jesus tell us to be quiet about our faith. Never did he tell us to be ashamed. And we'll get into that a little bit here. And then he goes on to say, and I'm actually going to skip the next part. It's the same part, but I want you to go down to 33, if you would. Verse 33. He says, so likewise, whoever of you does not forsake some of the things that you have. What does it say? What is all, Pastor? Whatever God asks you to forsake. I'm going to get to what that is in a second. You go, well, what is he asking me to give up? I'm going to get to that in a second. I can't tell you what he's asking you to give up. I know what he's asked me to give up. I know what he asked me to give up the day I gave my life to the Lord. When there's a true conversion, how many want to be truly converted? When there's a true conversion in a person's life, something changes. Everything changes. And God says now, you're not your own anymore. You've been bought with a price, with the blood of Jesus. And I'm going to use you in the most amazing way you could ever imagine, but I need you to understand, if you don't forsake all, you cannot be my disciple. Many are believers even, but how many are disciples? Many are called, the Bible says, but few are chosen. I want you to write this down. We must not only follow, but we must finish. I'm going to get to what that means in a minute. We're going to talk about that. What does that mean to finish? What is the finish? John 8:12 says, Jesus spoke to them again and said, I am the light of the world. How many believe Jesus is the light of the world? He who follows me, Jesus says, shall not walk in darkness, but has the light of life. If we really believe that, that means there is a dark world outside and we are the light. We are the candle. We are the light bulb. We are what the world sees. And as dark as the world gets, the light of Jesus can shine lighter. But too many of us have our faith covered, as that old song of Sunday school says. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Hide it under a bushel? No. I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. What are we supposed to do with light? Let it shine. Today, many people are saying they believe in Jesus, but they're ashamed of Jesus. They don't talk about Jesus. They're embarrassed about Jesus. Jesus wants us to follow him. We have, and you hear me say this a lot, and I don't say it disrespectful. I say it because it's the truth. The church world out that exists today is not biblical. And I say that in general. Because we have a lot of churches today, listen to this, a whole new generation of Christians who have come up believing that it's possible to accept Christ without forsaking the world. That's the truth. People, there's a thing today, a push today, a seeker-sensitive thing today that says, hey, you come in and you just come to church and you just do whatever you want, but if you believe in Jesus, you're good, but then you can do whatever you want. That's not the Bible. That's not the Bible. That's not the truth. That's not what God says. That's not what his word says. But that's what this world is trying to do. We're trying to lure people in. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. We do all kinds of gimmicks. The church world does all kinds of gimmicks to get people in. But the problem is when you get people in with gimmicks, you got to keep them with gimmicks. Jesus never did gimmicks. Matter of fact, we're seeing here in the Word, Jesus got in people's faces and said, listen, I'm going to die for you. But if you're going to follow me, you got to give up everything. That doesn't sound too popular, does it? That's not too popular. It's not popular here in the United States, but let me tell you something. It's been popular for the last 2,000 years, and people have given their lives for it every day around the world for the last 2,000 years because they took Jesus serious. How many want to take Jesus serious this morning? Amen? Talking to somebody this morning. Now, Luke 18, watch this. This is the rubber of the message. This is the meat. I want you to focus. I'm going to leave this verse up for a second. If you don't get anything else out of this message, get this. And especially the last two words. A man comes to Jesus. Many of you know this story. And I want to throw this out as a disclaimer right now. This person is a rich person. Jesus does address that, but I don't want you to... Well, I'm not rich, so he's not talking to me. Because we're going to see something here that's very important. A certain ruler came to him. He says, good teacher. And I want... Don't change the verse yet, please. What shall I do to inherit eternal life? Look at those last two words and understand. There's nothing. Somebody say that with me. Nothing. Say it one more time. I'm going to add absolutely nothing more important than those two words. Nothing. Nothing you do on this earth before you enter eternal life matters if you're not on the right side of eternity. Does everybody understand that? Tell the person next to you, politely, I'm just getting you involved, you're going to die. Are we speaking that over each other? No, it's fact. 100 out of 100 people die. But isn't it amazing that no one ever thinks about what happens after I die? What's the next step? We talk about next step in our church, about the next steps of being a believer. What's the next step after the lights go out? It's not a mystery. Why don't people think about it? I want to challenge you this morning to start talking to your neighbors and your friends and your families and using the most easiest, best possible way. You say, I don't know how to witness to people. Have you ever tried walking up to somebody and saying, hey, have you thought about what's going to happen after you die? It's a good lead-in. People don't think about it until you ask them. And then if they walk away from you mad for even asking, guess what? The thought's going to be in their mind. What's going to happen when I die? Am I on a different planet or is this true? Does it amaze anybody else that nobody ever talks about eternal life or really wants to get it right? Like you can't just belong to something and be like, you know, I'm part of that group and we believe. No, what are you going to do individually when you stand before a holy God? Does that scare anybody in here? Or am I on another planet? I live my life every single day in the fear of God that one day I will stand before him, not because I don't know who Jesus is and believe what he did on the cross for me, but that's a day that is going to be a very scary day for everyone, especially if you don't know Jesus. Especially, okay? Because it's the left to the right. So I'm just hitting this just for a second because I may never see some of you again. I hope I do. But if I don't, this is my chance to give you the gospel. And I want you to understand eternal life is literally one breath away. Literally one breath away. It's right around the corner. So he asked this question, which is of all the questions he could have asked, it's a great question. And Jesus says in verse 19, why do you call me good? No one's good but one. And that is God. And by the way, he's only saying that he is God, but he is showing his humanity as being God on the earth. He's showing he's a human being. So he says, why do you say that? He puts it up to God. Don't think that doesn't mean Jesus wasn't God. He says, do you know the commandments? So watch what Jesus does here. You know the commandments. He starts to go over the commandments. Don't commit adultery. Don't murder. Don't steal. Don't bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. And he says, so Jesus here is talking to him about what he thinks he's good on. Everybody in here thinks they're good on something, that I'm good with God because. You ask somebody, why are you going to go to heaven? Because I'm a good person. That's what a lot of people answer. A lot of people answer. That's the answer of a lot of people. I'm a good person. So he asked him those questions because he knew the law. He knew the Ten Commandments. He says, okay, I've kept all those things from my youth, Jesus. I'm good. Watch what Jesus says. So when he heard these things, and this is for everybody, he says these three words, four actually. You still lack, five, one thing. Everybody in here lacks one thing. What is it? Whatever yours is. What is it? Whatever mine is. What is it? Whatever is keeping you from following Jesus. Did y'all get that? We're going to see here in a second in the story, this man's problem was money. But what's yours? What's mine? Why am I not fully following Jesus? Because there's something in my life that I don't hate. There's something in my life that I love more than Jesus. So he says, you still lack one thing. Now, he knew Jesus knows you. Even I don't know you today, but Jesus knows you. He says, go sell all that you have. Sell it all and distribute it to the poor, and then you'll have treasure in heaven. And then he says, come follow me. Different from the disciples, what did he do? When he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. But see, again, for him it was money. What is it for you? Are you being honest with yourself today? Why don't you fully, wholeheartedly follow Jesus? What's keeping you from it? And the next verse says this. When Jesus saw that, he became sorrowful, and he said, how hard is it for those who have riches? But I want to stop here for a second. That don't get caught up on that. Again, I'm not rich. So what is it that you have the problem with? What is it that I have the problem with? His was money. What's keeping me from entering the kingdom of God? Only you can answer that. Am I right? He says, it's hard for those who are rich to enter the kingdom of God. And then he says this to close this part. For it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Now, if you don't know Jewish culture or Jewish understanding, that means that that camel, the eye of a needle was a small door that the camel had to go through. Camels carried stuff. And the only way the camel could go through the hole is he had to get down on his knees and crawl through. So it wasn't easy. It's easier for a rich man. It's not about just a small eye of a needle or a big candle camel. It means you have to humble yourself. You have to get down and say, I am nothing. I am nothing and I'm nobody. That's the right attitude with God. You know, God loves and is attracted to humility and repentance. Amen? And those who heard it said, who can be saved then? This is crazy. These things are impossible. But he says, with men, all things are possible. How many believe that this morning? So then Peter says, we've left all and followed you. And he says, assuredly, I say to you, here's some good news for those of you here today that are following Jesus. I say to you, there's no one who's left house or parents or brothers or wife or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who shall not receive many times more in the present time and in the age to come eternal life. How many realize this morning that eternal life with Jesus is what really matters? That's all that really, really matters. You're not going to take anything with you. Nothing but your name. That's it. No possessions, just your name. So as I begin to close, quickly, if you're taking notes, I'm gonna give you some things that Jesus asks of us quickly, but I'm going to give you some chapters to read. I'm going to give you a little homework. Romans 8 and 10. Don't read them now, please, but I didn't want to take the time to tell you the backing. Every time any preacher preaches, everything we say should be backed by the Word of God. Everything. So Romans 8 and 10, Mark chapter 8, John 14 and 15, Mark 16, and Matthew 28. Romans 8 and 10, Mark 8, John 14 and 15, Mark 16, and Matthew 28. Those chapters say this is what Jesus requires of us. Number one, that we believe in him. Did y'all hear what I said? Yeah. That we believe in him. My question is, do you really believe in Jesus? Not a head knowledge, but a real belief in Jesus. Okay? That, if you don't, that's you. That you do what you want to do. But God expects and accepts faith in Him by believing that He is who He says He is. And the Bible tells us that God came down from heaven, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross for our sins, resurrected out of the grave to defeat death, and ascended into heaven. And that's, if we believe that, that's why we're saved. Okay, that's the gospel, and it's simple. Do you believe that? I'm asking you to raise your hand. God says, Jesus says, I need you to believe in me. Number two, I need you to confess me. If you confess me. But not just in church. Everywhere. Number three, I need you to never deny me or be ashamed of me. Never deny me, never be ashamed of me. All this is from the scriptures. Number four, follow me. Paul said, imitate me as I imitate Christ. You should be following somebody in your life who's following Christ. That's what discipleship is. You're following somebody, you're admiring their life, you're walking after them because they're living for the Lord, then somebody's following you, and that's why the gospel got to us today, 2,000 years later, because discipleship passed on the torch of true living for the Lord. Then you should live for Him. Not on Sundays, Mondays, Thursdays, Saturday afternoon. We got a whole generation of Christians today, Christians who are saved on Sunday. And maybe live a good life on Sunday. But Monday through Saturday, they're not living for the Lord. That's not living for Jesus. Amen? Amen. Then he says, these are Jesus' words, trust me. Do you believe today and trust that Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you? That where I am, you'll be also. In my Father's house are many mansions. Do you believe? Do you trust Him? Do you trust that He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life? Do you trust that Jesus says, I died on the cross for your sins. He who believes in me, though he dies, he shall live. Does anybody trust Jesus' words? Truly trust Him? Because listen, when you go start talking about eternal life, you need some trust. Isn't it amazing what people trust in today? Dead gods. Dead gods. Are you being disrespectful? No, I'm being honest. Dead gods. There's only one person in the history of the world who said with his own mouth, I am the only way to God. And there's only one person. I always tell people, when I use this opening door of eternity, have you thought about where you're going to spend eternity? My always ending thought is, I'm going with the one who's the only one who's ever been to the other side and come back. I'm going with Him. No other deity, no other God, no other religion has ever been. Matter of fact, the two biggest and the largest religion in the world is Islam. And Muhammad had no hope as the major prophet of that religion that he would spend eternity with God. No hope and no assurance. Do you know that? How many here today can know that they can have a blessed assurance that we can spend eternity in heaven with God because of what Jesus said He did for us on the cross? Thank the Lord for that. So we trust Him. Then another thing is we tell others about Him. Tell people about Him. And then this last one's not going to be too popular, but it's the most important. Die for Him. Die for Him. Die for Him. What? Yeah. See, that's foreign to us. It's foreign to us in America. But for the last 2,000 years, it's been common for believers in Jesus to die for their faith. Common. And then we talk about, well, that's not happening today. In America, it's not. Thank God. I'm not going to be honest. I'm going to be honest. I'm glad I don't have to walk out and worry about being killed. I'm not going to lie. I don't know how long that's going to last. I don't know how much longer we're going to have that. But the truth is, in this world, listen closely, in the last 100 years in the world, more people have died martyrs' death for Jesus Christ than the whole 2,000 years since the crucifixion. just not here. People die every single day for their faith. People are burned alive. People are crucified. People are killed, brutally murdered for their faith all the time for Jesus. And here in America, we don't even want to follow them. Amen? Let me end with this, Revelation 20. I'm going to go to the end of the book. Going back to eternal life, going back to following Jesus Christ. I want to make a statement before I read this. Take it back down for 1 second, please, and put that background just for a second. I want everybody to listen to this statement very carefully. All right, I'm going to ask you to close your eyes for a second. I want you to listen to this statement, just a paragraph. Just close your eyes so you're not thinking of anything else. Jesus asks us to follow him and his teachings. Okay? He never asked us to become part of a religion. He never asked us to become part of a group. Okay, I'm going to say that again. Jesus asked us to follow him and his teachings. He never asked us to become part of a group, and he never asked us to become part of a religion. You can open your eyes. I just want you to focus on that, okay, as we read Revelation 20. Because, church, this is a future event that's going to happen to every person on the earth. We're going to stand in judgment. I've given you a lot of good news in here. Trust me, and we're going to end with good news. You saw the good news right there. But I need your attention today because Jesus is asking us to follow him, but his path is not easy. And he never said it was. He never said it was perfect. Everybody wants this, get saved, get your insurance, everything's perfect. That's not how it works. But have you realized before today that no matter what you do in your life, whether things are good or bad, you still have problems, whether you believe in God or not, problems will always be there. The difference is we have somebody who can overcome our problems. We have somebody who already overcame the problems. Jesus said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Believe in me. But the truth is, church, there's going to come a day, and for some people today, one matter of fact, 150,000 people today will die in the world. To put that into perspective, that's the population of Denton, Texas, is going to go into eternity today. And the Bible tells us the vast majority of that population is going to go to hell and stand in this judgment in Revelation chapter 20. Watch what it says. Then I saw a great white throne and him who sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. That means there were so many, there was no room. I saw the dead, small and great. That's not stature. That's popular and unpopular, known and unknown. Doesn't matter. And listen closely to something very serious. They're just a number. When you reject Christ, you're just a number. Well, that doesn't sound very loving. Well, it doesn't sound very loving to reject the cross either, but we do. Jesus gave his life. God gave his son on the cross, and he made a decision. You accept me or you reject me. Those who reject me, here they are, both small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, and watch this. This is the book of life. This is where you want to be. Is your name in the book? And it says, and the dead were judged according to their works. See, the thing is, if you don't follow Christ and live for him and confess him and believe in him and what he did on the cross for you, you will have to answer for your works. You don't want to answer for your works because you'll have nothing to say. Because our works, the Bible says, my righteousness is filthy rags. They were judged according to their works by the things which were written. What's that? Everything you do, everything you say, everything you think. And watch this. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it, and death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them, and they were judged each according to his works. Then death in Hades, that's hell, was cast into the lake. Oh, I don't believe all this fire and brimstone stuff. You will. You will. Everybody in hell today is a believer. Everybody. There's no out of sight, out of mind. I remember 9/11. Remember when they were jumping out of the buildings? It was so hot. There's no windows in hell. There's no place to jump out of. It's a real place. And I'm telling you this because I love you. I'm telling you this because God loves you. And I'm telling you this because that place right there was never intended for us. But people choose to follow their instincts, follow their dreams, follow their desires, follow other things than Jesus all the time. Every day, he says, this is the second death. Watch this. And anyone who not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Eternal life. Am I trying to scare you? No, I'm reading you the Bible. Just reading you the Bible. But I am trying to get you to think about your eternity and where you're going to spend it. Because listen, as I close, this is it right here. We're going to close. When you stand before, sorry, I put that back, that last verse up. I forgot one thing very important. When you stand before God in this judgment and the book's opened and it says, anyone's name found written in the book of the Methodist Church, the Baptist Church, the Catholic Church, the Assemblies of God Church, Episcopalian church, you throw in whatever church you were raised in, there's going to be no denominations and no religions on that judgment day. It's going to be you accepted Christ or you rejected Christ. Did you get that? Not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I guarantee you some people in here you know, and you may be the person. I belong to this church. This name, whatever name you want to put in there, it's not going to be there on judgment day. It's not going to get you into heaven. Jesus never intended all these denominations. He intended one church called the Church of Jesus Christ, not of Latter-day Saints, of Jesus Christ. Amen. The blood-bought, believing church that was shed, he shed his blood for and believes he's coming back again and believes the only way to heaven is through Jesus. Amen. Can I get a better amen? Amen? I have decided to follow Jesus. As we show a video to close, have you? You know, I looked this up. I've been preaching for 30 years. I had never heard that story and sang that song a million times. But I looked it up because I always like to make sure that when I say something, it's real. Many, many sources said it was true. And even on this video, found that there was a comment that said someone from that tribe, today, still 95% of that tribe is living for Jesus. Amen. To this day in 2024. Amen? Would you bow your heads and close your eyes this morning all over this place? Have you decided to follow Jesus? Don't think about lunch. Don't think about next week. Don't think about anything else right now, because what I'm going to ask you is the most important thing anybody could ever ask you. What will you say when you stand before God? I always say this, and it's Bible, it's biblical. The question is, will you stand before him. It's not a matter of whether or not you will. It's when, and how depends on you. You'll either stand before him and he will be your judge, or you'll stand before him and he will be your Savior. I choose Savior. I have decided today to follow Jesus. No turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. Though none go with me, still I will follow. See, it's a personal decision. That man that day, he wasn't making a decision for his family. He was making a decision for himself. And his family made it with him. Today, what are you going to do? What are you going to do with Jesus? Because you've been presented the gospel. How many? all over this place today. Young people, old enough to understand good and evil, bad and wrong and right, good and bad. Today, if you're young and you understand what's right and wrong, you got to make a choice too. Teenager, older person, it's been, maybe you're here and you believe somehow, for some reason, that the denomination you belong to is what's going to get you to heaven, or the religion you believe in, or your own set of thoughts. But the Bible says there's only one way in, and that's through Jesus and his shed blood. How many all over this place that you, I want to talk to someone who has never made that decision to follow Jesus. You've never said, I decide today to give my life to Jesus, to follow Jesus from this day forward, and you've never done it. How many could say, that's me? Just lift up your hand. All over this place, I see your hand. How many more? I see your hand. I've never made a decision to follow Jesus. How many more? I'm going to wait just a moment. Come on. I see your hand. Young people, old people, doesn't matter what age. You'll never be able to say, I didn't know, God. You've heard the gospel today. Simple, easy to understand gospel. Maybe today you're here and you've been in a lot of church services. And you do believe in God and you do believe in Jesus. But added to your belief, you've got this thinking that your church or your denomination or your religion is the right one or the wrong one. There is no church, no religion, no denomination that's right or wrong. Jesus is right. It's all about Jesus. His blood shed on the cross for your sins. Today, do you believe in Jesus and Jesus only? Only what Jesus did on the cross, not Jesus and. Jesus plus nothing. How many could say, maybe I need to make a commitment today to Jesus for who Jesus is and nothing else? Just put your hand up and say, that's me. Pray for me. You're talking to me today. Amen. I know God's talking to some hearts. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. It's not about religion. It's about relationship. Let's stand all over this place today. Maybe you're here today. Listen, you heard someone, several in the baptismal tank say it. I knew the truth. I knew about God, but I went away and got drifted away. And today, maybe you need to come back. Maybe you need to come back. Again, I might not see some of you again, ever again. I hope I do. Jesus is coming soon. Any moment. He's coming back for a church that's looking for him. The Bible says he's going to take us out of this world before chaos comes to this world. We need to get people saved. We need to tell people about Jesus. This doesn't say the harvest is next year. It says the harvest is now. You're the harvest. Today, as we stand here and we think about what that man did, you put yourself in that position and you be honest with yourself. Would you do that? Be honest with yourself. Would you be willing to die for your faith? That's what Jesus, it's real. And today, if you've never confessed, some of you raised your hand for a couple of those things I asked. You've never confessed publicly. You've never made a statement to everybody, I believe in Jesus Christ. Maybe you got saved watching TV or on the radio, but you haven't made a public confession of your faith. That's very important to do. Jesus said, if you will confess me before man, I'll confess you before my Father that's in heaven. But if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father that's in heaven. I'm making a call right now in these next few seconds for those that raise their hands and those that might be here that have never made a public statement of your faith. I want you to find that nearest aisle, and I want you to begin to come down here quickly. Come on. Don't wait for somebody else. Don't look around. Have you ever made a public confession of your faith? Come on. Come on, several hands went up. Don't be ashamed. Don't be afraid. I want the whole world to know. I want to start with the church that I believe that Jesus took my place on that cross. I'm confessing him today. Lord, you see me. You see us. We want to follow you today, Jesus. Touch us. change us, transform us. Come on, how many more? I'm going to wait just a few more seconds. You have never publicly confessed Jesus. Come down here and make a public confession of your faith. I want everyone to know that Jesus is my Savior. Amen. Now, as they're here, and we're going to pray for those watching online, those listening on the podcast, how many of you today will stand with them? How many of you today in your seats will make a decision? I'm going to follow Jesus. I want you to begin to come down to this altar. I mean, follow him like you've never followed him before. I mean, closer than you've ever followed him, more felt, heartfelt than you've... I don't have to say the right words. You just, the Lord's telling you, let's make a statement today. Let's confess Christ. Let's follow him closer. Let's love him more. Let's never deny him. Let's confess him. Let's tell people about him. Let's move forward, if you would, make room for anybody else. You know, heaven is watching today. Heaven is watching today. Don't be ashamed. Jesus died on that cross naked, beaten. The Bible says they couldn't even recognize him. His face was so messed up, beyond recognition for us. The least we can do is stand in a church service and tell other people in the church service, I believe and I want to follow Jesus. We're going to say this and then we're going to sing this song. How many have ever sang that song before that we heard in the video? Does it give a little bit different light? Hopefully it will help you next time you come to church for any song. Not every song has that background, but every song has something. And it should mean something to us when we sing it. Amen? That person gave his life, and years later, someone found those words and put a melody to it and put a song to it. I think it was in the 1800s, late 1800s, and they made it a hymn. But it means something to us today. Amen? I want you to say this with me. Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy, your grace, and your love. While I was still a sinner, you died for me, the ungodly. I know that the wages of my sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. I know you took my place when you died on that cross. You died for my sin, my rebellion, my failure. And today I accept that. I believe that. And I have decided to follow you with all my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. Wash me clean with your precious blood that you shed on the cross for my salvation. Today I'm a new creation. I'm a new person. And from this day forward, I'm going to live for you. I'm not going to deny you. I'm not going to be ashamed of you. I'm going to live for you, and I'm going to tell others about you. And I will die for you if that's what I have to do. In Jesus' name. Please write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thanks again for listening. If you want to hear more messages, please subscribe to our podcast channel. And if you like it, consider rating it and sharing it with your friends. For more content from VWO Denton, go to our website at vwotexas.com.